Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Assessing a person's legal matter often requires extensive interviews, review of contracts and documents, and research of the current state of the law on the issues involved. As a result, the information provided by the attorneys and guests of All Things Legal is given for informational purposes only. It is not to be construed as legal, tax, investment, or other professional advice. Communications with the attorneys on this program, whether verbal or digital, do not create an attorney-client relationship.
Good morning. Doug Sinceri, Albert Nico, your weekend lawyers, All Things Legal. You give us a call at 260-1870 or text us at 870-870 on WWLAMFM.com. We'll be on till 10 o'clock. And we got Albert this morning. Good morning, Albert.
We got Doug this morning, too.
That's
How
right.
are you, Doug?
Doing great. Doing great. Got a little sports want to talk about. Now, we usually lead off with sports, but we'll lead off with you in the sense that I knew you were handling the case, but I'm sitting in my office and I'm seeing all these pop-ups about the morning call knocking out the bid for Cafe Du Monde for the City Park location.
Right.
And I'm like, boop, pop, 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 pop. And I was very struck on you handled the case for the morning call on the nerve or the nerve center that that story had for New Orleans. And, I mean, I think it led off all three newscasts, leading off the news on WWL.
Right.
And, you know, basically, why don't you tell everyone what it occurred and
Sure. Yeah, I represent Morning Call in the Oaks. And we, there was an issue, the backstory on it is Morning Call, I'm sorry, City Park came to Morning Call about 6 years ago or so. And they said they wanted to put a beignet stand in the casino building. City Park had previously run the City Park Cafe or something like that. And they wanted to be out of that business. So they decided, you know, we want to get a beignet shop here. So they contacted Morning Call. They did what was called a cooperative endeavor agreement, which is kind of a way of getting around the public lease law. And you know, of course, Morning Call just, you know, they signed it, they paid their rent directly to City Park, et cetera, et cetera. So City Park's lease with Morning Call was up. There was a 3-year term with a 2-year option and another 2-year option. Well, City Park was the one who was in charge of the option, so City Park ended up granting the additional 2-year option to make it 5 years, but after 5 years, they went month to month. And so they decided, we're going to go ahead and put this out to public bid under what is commonly called the public lease law. And so they did a bid proposal. They, you know, had instructions for bidders. They advertised it according to the public lease law. And what happened, there were, you know, three companies that ended up bidding on the property on the lease, and that was Cafe Beignet, Cafe Du Monde, and Morning Call. The bid document said that the lease would be given out or awarded solely on the qualified bidder who came up with the highest percentage rent. So the rent was $10,000 a month. But we're going to look at your monthly revenues, and if they exceed $10,000 a month, whatever that highest percentage that you want to bid, that's what we're going with. So it's going to be the higher of the two, whether it's $10,000 a month or, you know, the percentage of revenue. So Cafe Beignet bid 10%. Cafe Du Monde bid 10.25%. Morning Call bid 10.5%. So once those bids were read, they accepted the bid, et cetera, et cetera. Once those bids were read, then City Park had to do an evaluation of the bids to make sure they were in compliance, et cetera, et cetera. Well, their attorney in their written recommendation stated that because Morning Call missed a mandatory pre-bid meeting, that Louisiana law said that they had to be disqualified by law from getting the bid. And so in the bid specifications, there was a mandatory pre-bid meeting. My argument was that there is nothing in the public bid law that says if you miss a pre-bid meeting, you're disqualified. I'm sorry, in the public lease law. In the public bid law, there is. Public bid law deals with construction and improvements to, you know, public entities and property.
But not leases.
But not leases.
Gotcha.
So that was one of the issues. The other issue that I think the press did not grab a hold of very, very much was that the reason, you know, yes, we were late for the meeting. The meeting was started at 10. They got a call from someone at City Park saying, hey, you know, where are you? There was an issue with my client's phone, and he showed it to me over and over again how the calendar kept jumping to different places. So he said, look, we're on our way. My brother lives in Lakeview. He'll be there in a few minutes. At 10:15, his brother shows up at the meeting. The meeting's over. So I don't know how important that meeting could have been.
If it was 15 minutes.
A 15-minute meeting, correct. Anyway, so what I think the one thing that so they were disqualified for that. But one thing that we argued trying to have the bids thrown out is that Café Du Monde, who was awarded the bid with the second highest number, was supposed to submit 5 years of financial statements, and it only submitted 1 year of financial statements. So it was, and that actually was in a category called financial qualifications. So that affected their qualifications, whereas missing a meeting, they just had, it didn't have anything to do with my client's qualifications.
Sort of like the Second Amendment, huh? What's there is really not there, and what's not there is there, right?
right. So anyway, so Judge Bruno, in his wisdom at Civil District Court, picked up on that and basically said, you know, none of the bidders complied with the bid documents. As a result, we're going to throw out the award of the contract to Café Du Monde, and now he of course can't force them to rebid the contract.
Right.
But likely that is what they'll do. I've been in trial all week on another matter, and so I didn't finish up till 8 o'clock Friday night. So I've not been able to get in touch with the folks at City Park to see what the next step is. We are hoping that Morning Call will allow to remain there, continue to pay rent until the matter is resolved, whether through appeals or whether through a rebid process.
And if the City Park people are listening, don't call in the next 2 hours. We're busy. All right. So call after 10.
There you go.
Well, good. Yeah, that was, I was, you know, it was, certain things in New Orleans are, you know, they're just such the fabric of New Orleans. I mean.
Oh, absolutely.
And that was something that really touched, you know, it was very interesting to people because.
It was interesting to see people take sides on social media. I think this is this and this is, you know, there were a lot of comments about how people thought, oh, you know, the fix was in, and other ones were like, oh, you know, they should award it to Café Du Monde. And it was just, you're right. It was kind of a battle all back and forth among the players. But
Martin Call originally started out on Decatur Street.
Mm-hmm.
And Bob Mitchell was talking about, used to have curbside service for that Morning Call.
Yeah, they run out and bring it to you. It's kind of the first drive-through, right?
Right, and then you eat it in your car and it gets all over your car. It's just sort of a New Orleans tradition back then. So
brush a little powdered sugar off.
You know, yeah. it's
every tuxedo in town has had powdered sugar on it. You can bet.
You know, it's an interesting thing is when we had people come in from out of town, especially NFL people.
Mm-hmm.
They wanted to do one of three things: Pat O'Brien's, Tipitina's, or go get beignets. Right. I mean, or oysters too.
I just rode with Tommy Satanovich to friend's mom's funeral, and he said that Patrick Peterson came up to him and they fed the team. Drago's fed the Cardinals team, and he said Patrick Peterson came up to him at the restaurant and said how much he loved him, And so when they fed the team on Sunday, they got 100 charbroiled oysters. They did just for Patrick Peterson because he said, I want them tomorrow. And so Tommy said,
there
you got
go.
It.
There you go.
So, you know, a few guys got to sample some of them, but they had a great time.
That's what makes New Orleans different. All right, let's go to the phone lines. Let's go to Charles on line 3. He's got a question regarding rental agreements. Hey, Charles, you and all things legal with Dexon, Terry, and Albert Nico.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning. What you got?
I've got a question. I've been at my apartment for 10 years now,
uh-huh.
And I signed a 3-year lease about a year and a half ago.
Okay.
Me and my girlfriend found a house we wanted to buy back in July, and we're closing next week. Mm-hmm. And I informed my landlord, I still have about 18 months left on my lease.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me. I informed her on July 27th when we found the house and everything, and my last day will be September 30th.
Right.
I was willing to stay there and pay August, September, and forfeit my $1,200 deposit. And
right.
I told her she was in Houston. I said, I'll be willing to show the house, whatever you need me to do to get the house rented for you and stuff. And she pretty much said that, you know, you owe me the 18-month lease. The only way I'm going to let you out is if you pay me $7,200 or if you can find somebody to lease out the rest of your lease.
Mm-hmm.
But they have to meet a certain criteria.
Right.
So she says, no dogs. I've had two dogs there for 10 years.
Right.
No roommates. I've had roommates on and off for 10 years. The house she owns above me, the rental property she owns above me, has roommates and everything.
Right,
and
right.
She's making it very difficult for anyone to rent the place out.
Right.
And I just need to know what she could do to me if I, when I leave September 30th.
Okay,
know,
what she can do to you is she has a duty to what's called mitigate her damages. So in the event
correct.
That you move out on the 30th, you give her notice, you move out, she would, as long as you keep the place in, you know, good order from the damage perspective, then she's really not allowed to keep your damage deposit as damages. But I'm sure there's probably a term in the lease that talks about in the event that you default under the lease. So that losing that damage deposit is something you'll probably have to do. But at the same time, she can't just sit around and say, oh, I can't rent it. She's got to... she's got to try to rent the place out within a reasonable period of time. So she may be able to come back and say, oh, well, I couldn't rent it for a year and a half, which seems very unlikely. And that's just going to be a question of fact. I think that, you could get into issues of, you know, what efforts she made to try to rent it. You know, did she advertise it? Did she, you know, who she...
I think that if it went to trial, mm-hmm. which it very rarely does, but the inquiry, the judge would look at it and say, well, what's a reasonable time period to release the property that you should have or could have, and
correct.
Then assess that, which you don't know. It could be 3 months, 6 months, could be somewhere in there.
Well,
so,
I saw that law that I've looked up and everything on some law degrees stuff online,
mm-hmm.
and I sent her the proper letter stating that I do not agree to her terms. And everything, I sent it to her July 27th, and I said, what I will do for you is I will stay here and pay rent up until October 1st,
mm-hmm.
and I'm forfeiting my $1,200 deposit to you.
Mm-hmm.
But she has put the burden on me to get the place rented out. And she said,
well, then you know what? Give it a shot.
I have been. And
yeah.
I've showed it several times, and each time she comes back and says, oh, well, she has a dog. Well, I've had a dog for 10 years, and you've had no problem with it. All of a sudden, the criteria changed. And she's making it very difficult.
Well, and no, that's an issue. That's an issue. What I would get those people's names and addresses because she needs to rent it under the same terms and conditions as the existing lease.
And so, there was a student that came in there, a brother and sister. She said no roommates because their brother and sister are considered roommates. And I've had roommates in the past, three
correct.
Or four of them.
So, again, you would have the right to rent it under the same terms and conditions. She can't make it more onerous to have you not be able to rent it. So,
correct. But she sent in a letter to these, email to these people saying, you have not been approved, your application is denied because you have a dog. Your application is denied
right.
because you have a roommate. You're
right.
not married. She's only renting a married.
Listen, the easiest thing to do is continue to try to rent it. But I would get those names and those applications, have copies of them to where you're going to be able to prove that to somebody one day, and I think you'll be okay.
All right. Thanks for the call. Good luck to you.
All right, Charles.
All right, let's go to a break. Doug Sinteri, Albert Nico, your weekend lawyers. All things legal. We'll be right back after this brief timeout. We're back. Doug Sinteri, Albert Nico, your weekend lawyers. Albert, I don't think anybody wants us talking sports today. He's getting a lot of calls first half an hour, so we'll go with it. Let's go to Nick's got a question regarding divorce. Hey, Nick, you on All Things Legal with Doug Sinteri and Albert Nico.
Yeah, good morning, guys. Thank you for taking my call. Contentious divorce case, now entering year 9, settlement of community property.
I started. Do you own a football team or something?
No. Started representing, going pro se after 3 years. About 6 months after that, it went into bankruptcy court, stayed there for nearly 5 years.
Okay.
So we come back out, and, of course, I got a motion filed by and I'm the defendant, so I know I'm behind the eight ball. Got a motion filed to set a deadline for descriptive lists.
Right.
And traversals for remaining community property. Now, there's not much left. And the order read, descriptive list shall be filed within 45 days from rendition of judgment.
Right.
And traversals shall be filed within 60 days from that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I got my descriptive list in. It's detailed. And then the plaintiff got theirs in. Now, my understanding is that from there you had 60 days to get traversal in, and that's
right.
What I had my question. My understanding, I guess, of traversal, if it had been two attorneys, I'm assuming they would have gotten together and tried to iron out some issues to submit traversals to the court. Am I right?
Well, typically it happens that way. What you did, the traversals is basically saying, this is what I disagree with on your opponent's descriptive list.
That's what you're contesting.
Because certain things you'll say on both lists, it's uncontested. Let's put this in another bucket, and we're not going to fight over that. Let's just fight over what we disagree over.
Well, I got my traversal, and traversals is in plural, so I'm assuming that was true. I got mine in within the 60-day period. Now, the other party didn't file theirs, but what happened after 30 days, and this is what I wanted to find out, a motion in order to set hearing on traversals of descriptive list. And that was after 30 days. And the wording that I want to ask you about is, we suggesting to this honorable court that issues have been joined and the issues remaining in this matter are set for trial. If I'm the only one, now oral, this is an active case, I got to go to hearing, oral arguments. If I'm the only one that submitted a traversal, and the other party didn't submit a traversal and their descriptive list is very short, I mean, when I go to court, the argument is, How do you present oral arguments when you don't know the other person's traversal?
Well, what you're going to do is this. One of two things will happen. One is the judge will say that the opposing party lost their right to file a traversal, so therefore anything that you have submitted that is not controverted will be stipulated at a trial. Or two, the judge will say, look, you were supposed to do it. I'm going to give you 5 or 10 days to file a traversal. If you don't, then you waive your right to contest anything that you put in your traversal list. So that's what's going to happen at the hearing. So it's up to the judge. Some judges will say, nope, you blew your chance to have a traversal. Some other judges, especially if it's a pro se, they'll say, we understand that you don't have lawyers. We understand you don't. We'll give you a little mercy and grace. So one or two things will happen at that hearing. Either the opposing party will lose their right to contest what's on your list, or they'll give a very short window to traverse your list, and after that, a trial can be held to determine community property.
Yeah, let me ask you one final question on that. I'm the defendant, so I'm all behind the eight ball. It always appears like the judge just takes the words, attorneys are suggesting without really looking for documentation to support their position. Is that
That's the trial. When you have the trial, you have to support the descriptive list.
Okay.
Descriptive list is like a notice. But thanks for the call. Good luck on your traversal trial and your community property. We're going to CBS Update. Local news. We'll be back in about 4 minutes on all things legal. They're taking your advice. We got some sports questions texting, but we got a lot of callers. So we default. We take the callers first, and we'll address the sports text later.
Yeah.
Let's go to phone lines. Let's go to Patrick. He's got a question regarding employment. Hey, Patrick, you and all things legal with Doug Sincere and Albert Nico.
Good morning, gentlemen. Thanks for taking the call. Before I ask the question on the regards of the dispute on the coffee companies on that location, and you said there was a lot of fiery social media comments. I hope your listeners know that when you post on social media, it is in no way immediately filed in any circuit or district court. I believe they think that their comments are, but it's not.
But of course not.
No. But my question is, I resigned from my previous employer on approximately the 23rd or the 24th of last month. I had an appointment with my primary care physician within about 3 or 4 days after. I had health insurance through my employer, full coverage health insurance. And I go into my from primary care physician and they said, oh, no, your insurance has been canceled. I thought there was a period on which the law required that I would still be covered for a specific period of time. Am I correct on that?
How many employers do you have? Did they have
just one? Just one.
You see, typically you have COBRA coverage, but you know we're going to have to check to see if that applies to an entity with one or two.
Yeah,
I don't think it does.
No, I don't think it does either. But I think that when you purchase your insurance, you purchase it for the month. And so they pay a monthly premium, and it should be covered. It should have covered you through the month. And so if the employer did something to jeopardize that, I'd go back to the employer and say, hey, look, I purchased this employment for this period of time, and it typically runs, you know, through the end of the month. So if you left a particular day and then within that same month you had a doctor's appointment, that should have covered it. And then But go ahead.
Okay, no, go ahead. No, I'm listening, sir.
No, and so, I mean, I don't know why that wouldn't have been covered.
Yeah, because I had health insurance through a major employer, relatively large company, and I'd been with them for almost a year, and then I resigned. And, within that month, I go to my primary care doctor and they say, oh, no, your Blue Cross Blue Shield is, looks like it's been canceled. And, you know, that kind of really threw me off guard.
And again, typically, we deal with when we have employment questions, there's usually more than just one employee. So I'm not sure at what point COBRA kicks in. COBRA is required to where you don't lose your health benefits. There's this overlay now with the whole Obamacare thing that has kind of complicated that to some degree. But I would think that you should have had coverage, you know, but I guess out of, your employer canceled the coverage, but he should have canceled it from the day, prior to your next premium due date, as opposed to canceling it in the middle of a coverage month.
Plus, I think with COBRA, typically with COBRA, if you have enough employees, I'm checking a threshold. I don't know if it's 50 or 15.
Yeah.
But
the number of employees at that specific location was approximately 90 to 100.
Well, then you have
I thought
code.
You just said one employee.
One employee.
No.
One employee. Have COBRA coverage.
I'm the employee, and then my employer, the place of business I work for has about 90 to 100.
Well, you have COBRA coverage.
You should have been offered COBRA coverage, and your coverage should. Is there an HR department?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. That's where you need to start.
What they have to do is within 60 days send you a COBRA letter. And until they send you that COBRA letter, health insurance is still in place. And then once you receive the COBRA letter, they will offer you a monthly premium to pay for up to 18 months. And that you have that option.
You'll be paying pretty handsomely for it.
But you have that option.
Yes, we all know about COBRA. Well, right. I'm very familiar with COBRA.
Okay, so it's a violation. They're required under the law to send you a COBRA letter, which obviously you haven't received.
Right.
And until that COBRA letter is issued, you have 60 days to decide whether you're going to elect to take coverage or not. And so they, okay. So the short version is they're supposed to pay for that particular health insurance. Mm-hmm. They're responsible for it.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
So from the time of my resignation with my employer, how long was I still supposed to be covered by my Blue Cross?
At least 60 days. At least 60 days if you don't accept COBRA.
Now,
coverage.
They can ask for a premium for the following month that you would have to pay that premium, but.
You got 60 days to select.
Yeah, but I mean, in other words, they don't have to pay your premium for you. If they were paying it before, they can ask you to pay it. But they apparently none of that transpired. So,
okay. So start with the HR department and
ask for your COBRA letter and ask them to reinstate insurance. That's the two things you do.
Exactly.
Okay.
All right.
It's COBRA. COBRA. It's an acronym.
All right. Thank you, guys. Go Tigers.
Thanks for the call.
Appreciate it, Pat.
Go Tigers. All right, let's go to a break. Doug Sinceri, Albert Nico, your weekend lawyers, all things legal. We'll be right back after this brief timeout. Doug Sinceri, Albert Nico, your weekend lawyers. Clarification on that COBRA. It's 90 days, not 60 days.
Okay.
So there you go.
All right.
But, you know, when people ask, there's these green books that we should throw away because we don't use books anymore. But, you know, when people ask us questions and they're like, why do you got to look in the green books? I said, there's like 100,000 laws.
Right.
You mean you got to look them up every once in a while.
You have to do research?
You have to do research. Yeah, what are you talking about? I went to De La Salle, and you went to St. Paul. We were educated very well
by the Christian Brothers.
But, I mean, the Christian Brothers aren't that good. They're great.
The way you should know every law ever
every
written.
Law, yeah, of course. There you go. All right, let's go to the phone line. Let's go. Albert. To talk about the beignet battle. That's a good one.
Beignet battle.
Albert handled for morning call. Hey, Albert, you on All Things Legal with Doug Sinceri and Albert Nico.
Good morning. How you doing?
Good.
I've listened to Bob Hennessey. He's a guest sometimes on another station that I'll listen to. And what I got out from the whole beignet battle was, despite being late for the meeting, City Park went ahead, accepted morning call's bid, opened it, and treated it as legitimate. Then when they realized the morning call was a high bidder, the missed meeting became an issue. They turned around and gave it to Cafe Du Monde, despite Cafe Du Monde not having met all the requirements of the bid. So it seems they should have just canceled the bid at that time instead of dragging it out through court. You know, it does look like they expected Cafe Du Monde to be the highest bidder, and when they weren't, they showed some favoritism in the Cafe Du Monde. I mean, that's what it looks like for me.
Well, again, Bob's my client, and Bob has a version of what happened. There were, in the testimony at trial, it came out that when they missed the meeting, and actually the judge kind of basically concluded they were late for a meeting. I mean, it was although the meeting was over in 10 minutes, how important could the meeting be? But he was trying to get in touch with Cafe Du Monde's, City Park's lawyer, with the head of City Park, trying to say, look, do I still bid? Am I still capable of bidding? Will you accept my bids? What's going on? Mm-hmm. And they basically said, we can't answer that. So they left it up to him. But you're correct. There was the bid opening day meeting. There were three companies represented that brought bids, and they did accept all three bids. They opened all three bids. They read aloud all three bids, including morning calls. And then once that happened, I think Bob's testimony was that you could hear a pin drop at the meeting, and people were kind of looking at one another. And then the next thing, okay, we'll get back with you guys. And then there was a follow-up meeting where they were going to discuss it and evaluate, which they had to do. City Park had to evaluate all the bids, make sure the bid packages were in compliance. And as it turned out, none of the three were in compliance with the bid specifications. And I think Judge Bruno was very astute in picking that up and not just, knee-jerkingly awarding the contract to Morning Call because it was the highest bidder, but again, all three bidders had issues with their bids, and so he was correct in saying, City Park, you awarded this bid to Cafe Du Monde illegally, and so we're going to throw that bid out, cancel the lease, And what you do from here is City Park's business. They can say, you know, we just want to shut it down. We don't want to have a beignet shot. We're going to change directions, or we're going to rebid it, or we're going to appeal. I mean, there's a myriad of decisions that City Park has to make, and I'm sure their board has to get together. But at the moment, it's a level playing
ground,
field.
Ground zero.
Yeah, we're back at ground zero.
No, guys, and I agree, but it just seems based on the facts that you just stated them that City Park should have just canceled a bid on its own. I mean, it just looked like a little favoritism at Cafe Des Moines. But anyway, that was just my comment. My only other comment is I expect LSU to get off to a fast start this year. I mean, particularly against Miami, I think the game, because of the fan interest and the emotion, should mean more to LSU, because if they don't win this game, the quality of life for the coaches and players is going to get ugly real quick. So I'm expecting a big effort.
Huh? Yeah, well, one thing that I'm optimistic about, Miami's not in the SEC. While Miami won 8, 9, 10 games, they don't play in the SEC. If they were in the SEC West, they'd probably be in the bottom tier. That's how good we are. But I think the first game will set the tone for the year. And I guess the reaction I have, like, is pensive. I mean, yeah. They can do. I think it's show and tell.
It's going to be a lot about the quarterback play. Yeah. I mean, you know, the game has evolved to that. You can't just win on great defense and great running. You know, you have to have at least stable quality quarterback play.
Actually, at the top of the hour, I was going to give one piece of advice to Coach O.
I'm sure he's listening, Doug.
No. But via Coach Bill Parcells. And no, I'm not advice, but something I think would be helpful, just in my opinion, mm-hmm. not to him, but just in general. But I was going to talk about that at the top of hour, just about 3 minutes. But I sort of keyed into something, you know, with the quarterback situation. And I think it's just all the speculation is gone. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a matter of if you perform or not. I think they can. We got a text saying what would be a good year for LSU. I think the open over and under would be 8. They win 8 games this year, it'd be a good year.
Well, there's 7 games that they're supposed to win. They're supposed to beat Southeastern. They're supposed to beat Ole Miss.
Exactly. They're supposed to beat the 3 games that are not non-SEC games that are not Miami.
Right.
Then you got Miami. That's a toss-up. But, you know, the SEC West is probably as good as the AFC you know, the AFC South. SEC, they can't all win.
Right.
And, you know, you got 4 right. teams that can, I mean, heck, you got Jimbo Fisher now at Texas A&M. Oh, my, you know, my goodness. So.
Yeah. No, you know, I think you're right. I think if they win 9 games, I'll consider that a successful season. Yeah. You know, somebody else texted, if they don't go to a bowl game, will O get fired?
Oh, yeah. Well,
yeah, 6 games get you to a bowl.
So if they go 5 games.
If they only win 5 games.
It would cause disruption.
There will be for sale signs in his front yard.
Well, you know, okay, I'm going to make my comment about Coach O right now. This is the way I see it, is, you know, when they had this 4 quarterbacks – and they lost 2 of them. I think part of it is you're trying to make everyone happy. And often when you try to make everyone happy, you make nobody happy. And the way I would see it is I think everybody knew in the summer that Justin McMillan would never start at LSU. And so instead of having a 4-person quarterback derby, you go in the summer and you say, Justin, we got Joe Burrow's because we don't think you're going to make it.
Right.
So if you want to stay on as a 4th quarterback, you can. If not, transfer. And then you have a 3 quarterback race, and you have the reps distributed among the 3. You might be able to hold on to Narcisse. Instead, I think you were trying to keep everyone happy mm-hmm. and doing the dance. And one thing Coach Parcell had told us 10 years ago in a different context, he said, you know, when I was at the Giants first year in 1980, I think they went 3-13, 1-15, right. something. And what he was trying to do was he was trying to meet everybody's expectations mm-hmm. because
he wanted to be their friend.
He was the second or third choice for the Giants at the time. They had some people who didn't take the job. And so he felt like he was trying to fulfill other expectations. And he said, you know what? I'm going to do this my way. and I'm going to do what I think needs to be done. Heck with everybody else. And if I get fired, at least I get fired doing it my way.
Right.
Rather than trying to meet other people's expectations. Mm-hmm. And I think the only thing I would say, coach, you got what it takes to coach LSU. Do it your way.
Right.
Don't worry about what the alumni says. Heck, don't worry about what your athletic director thinks.
Right.
Do it your way.
Well, and you were hired to do it your way.
Do it because you have what it takes to win in the SEC if you do it your way. And I think he's done that in some ways with hiring Jerry Sullivan, which is unconventional, hiring Steve Ensminger, and not going for the sexy offensive coordinator.
Right.
But do it your way. Continue to do it your way. And you know what? If that meant telling Justin McMillan in the summer you don't have a shot at starting,
right,
so be it.
Right.
He'll get, you know, and so – That would be the only thing I'd say for Coach O for the rest of the year. Do it your way, and you're good enough to do it. All right, let's go to a break. Doug Cinceri, Albert Nico, your weekend lawyers, and sometimes sports commentators. All things legal. We'll be right back after this brief timeout. We're back. Doug Cinceri, Albert Nico, your weekend lawyers. Let's go to Nancy's got a question regarding speeding ticket. Hey, Nancy, you in all things legal. Got a couple of minutes.
My son, young adult, on my insurance got a speeding ticket, 100 miles an hour in the 70, and also careless operation of the vehicle.
Correct. And when it's more than 15 miles per hour over the speed limit, they typically throw in a careless.
Sure. So I do not want this to get on our insurance. Do I need to get an attorney? I think the ticket itself is going to be about $800 from what I've heard.
Well, what you may want to do, what parish are you in?
St. John.
St. John Parish?
This is St. John, yes.
What you could ask for is talk to the DA, said, look, my son was a knucklehead. He thought he was trying to get some bad gas out of his car or whatever his excuse was, and say, look, he acted like a knucklehead, and I have no excuse for it. But could we do something where for an Article 894, which basically states you're going to pay the fine, you're going to pay the money to the municipality, but if he doesn't get another ticket in 6 months, it won't go on the insurance.
So I thought if it was over a certain, like 20 miles over, that wouldn't apply, but they have some discretion.
They have discretion.
Sure. Well, and again, I mean, you can do the 894 regardless. You go in, you plead guilty, and they have to give that to you unless it's, unless it's a DWI or something.
What happens is that it's a mandatory court appearance if it's over 15 or 20 miles over the speed limit. Now, is he a good student? Is he, is there something?
He had been. He's struggling a little now.
Okay. I'm just trying to say,
offer to the DA and
to say he's a good citizen.
Yeah, and there's no sense. Hey, and I typically go in there and say, look, we want to pay the fine. We want to pay the court costs. Can we get it reduced to a non-moving? There's no sense making the insurance companies wealthy. Can we, start there? If not, go ahead, plead guilty, and then you can get your 894, and you probably will need a lawyer for that, for the expungement.
So you go to the court date and you ask for the 894?
Yeah, ask for
it to be reduced. Ask to speak to the DA before the hearing.
All right, thanks for the call. We got to go to national news, local news. We'll be back in 10 minutes for hour number two. See you in 10 minutes.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.